thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, from verse 9, Jesus speaking, and he says, "Pray then like this, along these lines, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And after we've prayed that, and if we have prayed that properly, then we can go on to effectively pray for our needs and for the needs of others. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, the title this morning is Father First. It's no surprise to you that it's difficult to get beyond those two words. Some of us, you won't, you know, think we will never get over some event, some situation, something that has happened in our lives. And maybe we never will. Maybe the impact of that, whatever it may be, for good or for ill, or in whatever way that we've been impacted, we sometimes think and say, well, we'll never get over that. Well, I wonder if we will ever get over this. Will we ever get over thinking, praying, worshiping those, our Father, those two words? Are we over that yet? Are we acclimatized to that yet? Are we accustomed to that yet? Have we taken it for granted yet? May we never get over the fact, the truth, the realization that God is our Father. You see, if we don't get this, as this is what Jesus' teaching is on prayer, if we don't really, truly, deeply get this, then nothing else matters. Nothing else will make sense in this pattern of prayer that Jesus gave to us. If we don't truly get this, our Father, if we don't rest in this, realize this, deeply appreciate this, experience this more and more and more, then nothing, I can't overstate this, nothing that follows will be compelling enough to get our attention and capture our hearts. Because if we're not captured, by God Himself, first and foremost, we'll not be interested in His priorities. That is for sure. So it's right that we have to pause. It's right that we almost can't get by these two words in the Lord's Prayer as we have come to know it. Our Father. And what are God's priorities? Well, Jesus lays them out right here for us. The priorities is, first of all, relationship with God. It has to be the priority in our lives. That which shapes us, informs us, and transforms us is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the priority. Everything else is subservient to that, comes under that, has to be shaped and informed and empowered by that truth that He's our Father. No matter where we've come from, what we've done, no matter where and who we are, we can come to know God as our Father through Jesus Christ. And that truly is amazing. So the priority is relationship. And then it is His name, His kingdom, His will. His name, His kingdom, His will. This is not a list of descending priorities, okay? This is not Miss World, you know, or, you know, the Olympics, gold, silver, and bronze. The prayer that God's name will be hallowed, His name will be seen to be what it is, that God will be recognized as God, is served by God's kingdom coming and His will being done. So when Jesus says, our Father in heaven, delight in Him, worship Him, it's, you know, get connected to Him and pray that His name will be hallowed. How will His name be hallowed? His name will be hallowed when His kingdom comes and when His will is being done. God is seen to be God as His kingdom comes. Isn't that wonderful? As His righteous rule invades, as people are saved, as communities are transformed, as nations are transformed, God's name is seen to be great, awesome, glorious. Can this ever happen in our wee nation, as I keep getting referred, hear it getting referred to, our wee country? Can this ever happen? Will God's name really be glorified? Will His kingdom ever truly come again? Will His name be lifted up? Will His will be done? You know, over a 2-year period, in 1857 to 1859, 100,000 people came to know Jesus Christ in this, our wee country. Over a 2-year period, 100,000 people, it is estimated, came to faith in Christ. Wow. God knows how to glorify His name. God knows how to transform a nation. He knows how to do it. How will He do it? Well, we know how He will do it by understanding how He has done it. How has He done it? He has done it, first of all, first and foremost, in His Son. In Jesus, He has demonstrated who He is. In His Son, His Son brought the kingdom. Jesus brought the kingdom in. Jesus did perfectly the will of the Father. And so God's name was recognized as being great. Did all recognize it as being great? Well, they may have recognized it as being great, but they did not receive it. But all who did, He gave the right to become the children of God. So He's done it through His Son. By His Spirit, through the book of Acts, His kingdom comes. His name is glorified. His name is hallowed. And throughout church history, how is His name to be lifted up? How is His kingdom to come? How is His will to be done? How is the kingdom and the will of God to serve the name of God being seen to be great? Through you. Through you. Through me. Through us. Through us, may God our Father be seen to be God. Isaiah 40 verse 9 says this, "Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength." I think that might mean to shout. Whoops. To shout. To proclaim with a strong voice. Sorry, guys, on the sound table. Not with a weak, apologetic, half-hearted whimper that maybe you might be interested in Jesus, possibly. Could you maybe want to take this tract? Maybe understand if you don't. Heralds of good news. Lift up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, say what? Say what? Behold your God. Behold your God. Oh, that we, us, together, collectively, God's people, would consistently and constantly and faithfully present to the world a true representation of who God is. Are you engaging? Are you getting engaged? Is this doing anything? Is it stirring anything? Is it feeding you? This is God's word. This is God speaking, I do believe. Are we soaking this in and saying, God, please, let my life be something that glorifies your name. May God, people see who you really are through even me, weak, inconsistent me, sinful, frail me. Oh, this treasure, God says, is in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Not beautifully crafted vessels of gold, silver, and diamonds, but just earthen vessels. Broken vessels. To show that this treasure, it's not from us. It's from Him. Doesn't Paul say, I came in weakness. I wasn't a big, strong, on a high horse Christian. I was weak. I was frail. It seems that he had an eye condition. If you read Galatians, it seems, and tradition tells us, and we don't know because it's extra biblical, it's beyond, it's not in the Bible, but tradition tells us that he was a wee man, kind of stoop crooked back and a wee crooked nose and just kind of like not impressive physically. Sorry if you look like that, but not impressive physically. Just like Jesus. Nothing that we should behold him physically on the surface that we could say, wow, he's the man with the plan. Nothing that attracted us to him. Physically, and yet Jesus himself carried in himself the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus. Hallelujah. And we look at ourselves and think, well, how on earth am I going to be a representative of God and accurately represent God to others? I know my own failings and my sin and all the rest of it. Well, yeah, that's okay. We understand that and we need to understand that. But we need to also understand that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not to take sin flippantly or lightly, but His blood is powerful. And His Spirit cleanses and applies the blood to our hearts and empowers us to become more like Jesus so that we can say to a lost world, in our brokenness, in our earthen, and through our earthen vessel, behold God. Behold God. Look at what He is like. Through our prayers, and through our lives, through our actions and our reactions, by our love one for another, by our love for our enemies, by being like Jesus, by being the community that God says we should be, connected, loving, committed, giving people that represent and accurately present to a dying world what God is really like. Isn't one of the tragedies of church history how the church and how those who have claimed to be the people of God have misrepresented our Father? Huge tragedy. Massive tragedy. And we are still reaping the awful consequences of that. Institutionalized abuse. And all the rest of it. And the name of God is blasphemed among the nations because of those who claim to know Him. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2 says this: I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God has lifted up, exalted to the heavens, His name and His word. And the question for us is that what we do? Because that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're equipped to do. That's what we're inspired to do. That's what we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ to do. That is what we are filled with the Holy Spirit to do. To exalt above everything His name and His word. How would we know if we are really experiencing God as Father in the way that Jesus lays out for us here in what we've come to know as the Lord's Prayer? How would we know that we're really experiencing Him as Father? If we're delighted in the knowledge that God is our Father, if we're amazed that we can call Him Father, then we'll be passionate and we'll be purposeful about His name and His fame and His kingdom and His will. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are not just items for prayer. They're not just boxes to tick. They are what Jesus said we should focus on in prayer. And they are indicators that show us where our heart is. They're heart detectors. They weigh the true priorities of our hearts. They test and weigh the heart. You see, we have to ask the question. This is a flow. There's a flow to the Lord's Prayer. And do we have the time or the inclination to prioritize what Jesus says should be prioritized? To pray for God's name to be hallowed, for His kingdom to come, or for His will to be done. We have the inclination for that. Is that our priority in prayer? We have an ever-increasing sense of concern for the glory of God's name, an all-consuming passion for his kingdom, and a joyful commitment to do his will, then we know that the everlasting Almighty God truly is our Father. Because relationship with him, true and deepening, will always create in us a desire, strong, passionate, life-shaping desire for the things that matter most to our Father. If you truly love him, you will love the things that he loves. If we truly are in correct relationship with him, we will delight in the things that he delights in. If God, if our Father is not first in our lives, then the rest of the Lord's Prayer doesn't make sense. In fact, it becomes a burden. The primary focus Jesus puts on the priority and primacy of our Father's priorities becomes a tedious and tireless preamble till we get to verse 11 and our needs and our need for forgiveness and our need to be protected and from the devil and so on. Then we come alive. If he's really first, then what the Father desires becomes our delight. If the Father is first, then who he is, his name, becomes our passion. That his name would be seen for what it truly is, glorious, magnificent, gracious, kind. If Father is first, then his righteous rule, his kingdom, is something that we rejoice in and welcome. If Father is first, then his will is something that we joyfully embrace, not just something that we grudgingly submit to. You know, our hearts are restless, agitated, tense, stressed, until we rest fully in the knowledge that God is our Heavenly Father. And then his priorities become our delight. To rest in him, to surrender, to submit. Where do fightings and wars come from within our own being and our own hearts and even within a Christian community or any kind of community? They come usually and almost always because of selfishness and wanting to impose our will and impose what we want to see happening. What does it mean to pray your kingdom come? It means another kingdom has to go. That other kingdom, whatever that other kingdom may be, just has to go. There's no room for two kingdoms. How did the kingdom of darkness come? How did it come? God said, I've made all things good and pleasant and wonderful. How did the kingdom of darkness come? It was invited in, it was believed, and it was surrendered to. It came in through lies, it came in through deception, and it came in through rebellion. That kingdom is still wreaking havoc on the earth today. How will God's kingdom come? How will God's kingdom be seen? How will it grow? How will it be extended? Through submission, through surrender, two of the most difficult things for our rebellious hearts to do. And yet, it's the only way that the kingdom will come. Because the kingdom has to come in us before it will come through us. Imagine, would you just not just love to see the kingdom of God, the righteous rule of God come in a perceptible way this week? Think about that. Where would it be? Where would you like it to come most? What situation would you like to change and come into God's order and God's righteousness to be? Where would it be? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Has to come first in us, doesn't it? Has to come in our hearts. Where God's kingdom reigns. Forgiveness is free. It's freely given in God's kingdom, isn't it? Freely given. Any of us have a difficulty, problem with forgiving? Bitterness. See, that's just one thing. See, the kingdom of God needs to come and conquer that area in our hearts. And then what happens when he conquers that area, it can come through us to others. We can then become somebody who people will recognize as somebody who has forgiven much. Blessed are those who have forgiven much, for they themselves know that they have been forgiven much. The kingdom of God has come to us in this way, that we are cleansed and washed and accepted and loved beyond our failures and loved beyond our sin. And that is how God calls us to love others. To love them beyond their failures. To love them beyond their sin. To love people who are different from us. Who hold a wrong view. I was going to say a different view, but say wrong. Because obviously if you don't agree with we, then they're wrong. But to love them, that's how God loved us. We weren't acceptable to God. We were not acceptable. We were under the wrath of God, the just wrath, until the blood of Jesus was shed for us. And he made us acceptable through the blood that was shed for us. And God didn't wait to love us when we were all prettied up. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's kingdom. That's powerful kingdom coming powerfully. And that's how the kingdom will come. To Ballymoney, to your family, to our nation, to any nation, that there is a people who understand that they are kingdom people, that they themselves have received the glorious riches of the kingdom, that they are accepted in the beloved, and extend that very same kingdom love and grace and righteousness to others. One last verse as I close this morning. Paul says this about the kingdom. Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. What does he mean by that? The kingdom of God is not a matter of religious observance, eating the right stuff, avoiding the wrong stuff. It is not a matter of religious observance in even what you eat or wear or whatever. But it's this, the invasion of our lives and our communities, the invasion of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. Boy, we need some of that, don't we? An overspill of the kingdom in joy. Not just frivolity and jollity, but, you know, that wouldn't go amiss either. Just a bit of happiness, you know. But the joy of Jesus, the joy that he had, enduring the cross, despising its shame, for the joy of knowing the kingdom is going to come through my blood. And for that, I'm joyful, Jesus says. So the sufferings that we face, Paul said it as well, didn't he? I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And we say as Pentecostals, yes, bring it on. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I will leave that to the Presbyterians. Kingdom comes. Kingdom will come. Kingdom is coming. You will either be part of it or you'll be part of the consequences of the kingdom coming. That's the truth. So, people of God, I appeal to you on the basis of God's word. Our Father, delight in him, know him, do everything you can to know him and make him known. Let that relationship so shape you, transform you, that you have a love for the greatness of his name and his kingdom and his will above everything else. And let's stop praying the Lord's Prayer the wrong way around, starting with, give us, give me, help me. That's how we pray. We never get anywhere. We pray it the right way around when it comes to give us. It's almost like we've got nothing to pray for. Almost. Because you know what? We just know that he will give us. Because we're absolutely convinced he's a great father. Absolutely convinced of that. But he still invites us to ask. And it's great fun to ask. And the Father delights to give. That's why he asks us to ask. So he can give. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, our gracious, wonderful, loving, kind, perfect Father, you remember that we are weak and frail. You remember that we are dust. You know our frailties and you love us beyond our frailties. But Lord, we see a world that is dying. It's tearing itself apart. We see a world that is in darkness, many wounded and being wounded and wounding others. We see a world that's full of hate. We see a world that's full of turmoil, anguish, pain, grief. And Lord, your kingdom is bigger than all of that. Your kingdom is greater than all of that. God, help us to rise to the challenges of these days. Filled with your Spirit. Cleansed continually by the precious blood of Jesus. Change our priorities, Lord. Draw us deeper into a relationship with you. The priority of that relationship. And Lord, as we break bread this morning, oh Lord, let this be real. Let it be not just eating and drinking, but let it be righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Spirit. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.